It's Happy Hour Lab with your hosts, Rhonda and Alexis. Join two cocktail novices and best friends as they learn about the fun and often strange history of cocktails, both famous and forgotten. And no episode is complete without a few amusing rabbit holes. Recorded weekly on Maui, because that's where they live. Let's see what cocktail they're getting into this week.
And we're here. This is Happy Hour Lab. My name's Rhonda.
I'm Alexis.
And we're joined today by a very special guest.
Hi.
I like it. I love when guests say a word or two, and then the listener can be like, I wonder who that is.
Who's it going to be?
I didn't read the title of the episode, so I'm still left guessing.
Someone sent me this podcast. I'm just, what is this?
Where am I? Who am I? We are joined today by a very lovely person. This is Andrew Tabora.
Hi. Hello.
How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing well.
A few drinks in, we like to get them liquored up.
Yes.
And then they laugh at our jokes.
Yes.
They keep coming back. You know, we give them that sweet stuff they can't find anywhere else. Isn't that right, Alexis?
Mm-hmm. So sweet.
I love the sweet stuff.
Andrew is a stylist, creative director, content creator, and an icon in the making.
I did not tell her to say that.
He didn't. He typed it. But I would agree with all of those things. You're a very creative and wonderful person, and it's been nice getting to know you. Yeah. And Alexis and Andrew actually met each other through Cara, who was a guest prior.
We did.
I was a little too close to the microphone just now. I can sit back a little bit. Yeah.
And that whole Wailuku experience has been another door opening for relationships. Let me turn that down a little bit. So we met at Cara Mia's pop-up in Wailuku. And you're just so lovable.
It was so nice to meet you. I remember briefly meeting you the first time when it wasn't the grand opening, or it was kind of like a sort of a grand opening that she was having. And I was telling Carmia at the time just these new adventures I was just trying to take up on. I loved her store. I just like fell into it, and I saw her Instagram like a week before. And so I was in Wailuku town just trying to search for it, found it, loved her stuff. And she immediately was just like a lovely person and so welcoming, and the space felt so welcoming and like accepting, and I loved all of her dresses and I kept picturing myself in them. And then she introduced me to you, and it just felt like such a safe place to just be. And and then we had like the other pop-up a few weeks afterwards where we got to mingle a little bit. There was champagne, got to talk. I got introduced to he was a tarot reader.
Oh yeah,
he read me to filth. But no, he told me all these things, and it resonated with me. Yeah, it resonated, definitely. It was $30 worth, so it was great. Nice. Yeah, I would hope so.
So they were good things.
It was good things.
Sometimes I read horoscopes or get readings, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Right.
You told me I need to work on myself.
Yeah.
Wrong.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the cards were, but I remember feeling I remember feeling good after that.
That's cool.
I mean, I think tarot readings often are like a snapshot. So it works out if you don't remember, because maybe it just did what it needed to do for that
moment. Time.
Yeah.
And you don't need to remember.
Yeah. It was nice. I got some earrings. Nice. These, I still have them. Of course, I didn't throw them away, but
I got them.
But they're these like dangling ball, like this like dark navy.
Were they the fabric ones?
Like the I don't know.
Or the beaded glass?
They weren't beaded. They these like felt pom-pom balls that were like an inch and a half. That just like, it was so cute. Yeah. I love balls.
Only an inch and a half though.
Well.
They can't be that long.
I'm no longer ballular.
I I feel like there's a lot of similarities too between you and Kara Mia, of like two people that are very authentically individual and set, mm-hmm. surround themselves in a creative space and, you know, lend themselves to other people's creative spaces, mm-hmm. too. I think it's a very special, a special trait you don't mm-hmm. see in a lot of people, where it is that, like, it's almost like a train where it's like, I'm creating things and I'm taking people to creative places totally. At the same time. And it's cool. I totally see that similarity.
It was
between
just
you two.
So nice for her to just be so open to share her process and her creative thoughts. And, yeah, it's just nice to be around other like-minded creative people, especially for myself, just trying to like figure out what I'm doing, and seeing a person like her who has done it for a long time and has like mastered her craft. So it's just super inspiring.
Yeah.
Just to be in the same room and just to hear her a little bit of her journey.
Totally.
Yeah. And to meet her friends as well. So it was just nice.
Yeah. And she has such a strong voice to her creative process that she, like when she was on the podcast where it was like, she would talk through these things where kind of things that were to the layman like intricate and very involved, but she talks to them very easily, which I don't know that all artists, even if they've been doing it for a long time, necessarily do that.
I don't imagine everyone being that generous to share, you know.
Absolutely.
I could see some people being not wanting to be generous and closed-minded and not wanting to help, but she's the total opposite,
or not having the words for it too. I think sometimes mm-hmm. people are so much in a creative space physically mm-hmm. with art and things.
What was that?
The ASMR cycle.
Hey, shout out to them.
But so creative with physical art that verbally they're like, you know, I've met a lot of artists like that where they're like, this is just how I do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I was actually, so I don't know if you saw, I was like liking a bunch of your posts today on Instagram.
And we were
like, girl's talking today.
No.
And I was like, sure, you could call it that. But what I really was like, I was like, I want to be familiar with the things that you create on Instagram, which is only one facet of mm-hmm. creation. But mm-hmm. I was looking at the reel. The one that really popped out to me was the one about Colin, mm-hmm. where you styled the shoot at Requests Music mm-hmm. Store.
So fun.
Yeah, that was amazing. I am still always wanting to create things like that. And, you know, ask my friends if they're just willing to just take some pictures and have me style them. And yeah, that was a really fun experience. I met Shelby, who is the owner of Studio Sides, and she has a really great business and creative mind. And I asked her to assist me in that. And so she knows Colin. I'm friends with Colin. His girlfriend is one of my closest friends, like since elementary school. So it just felt super genuine and easy to ask him to just be my mm-hmm. model for that shoot. And I, at the time, just was building up relationships with other stores. And when it comes to wardrobe, I enjoy the puzzling and seeing like what can work. That to me kind of comes easy. It's as far as having the options to see where I'm going to be sourcing from and mm-hmm. seeing just what my options are. And
it's like a chef who goes into a fridge and they're like, what do we got?
What do I,
like,
exactly. Like, okay, what do I have here? What can I play with?
We got some eggs and lettuce and Neapolitan ice cream.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And luckily I had built up a relationship with Cut Market and a few mm-hmm. other thrift stores. I try to be, Cut Market is amazing. Yes. They always have some great stuff. And I try to be more thoughtful when it comes to sourcing wardrobe and trying to be sustainable and just using more recycled mm-hmm. things. If I'm making my own pieces as well, I'm using old fabric that I'm not using anymore mm-hmm. and just being conscious of that. And just having Colin being nice enough to just go with it. He's super fluid with whatever I can just throw on him. And yeah, I'm not as confident when it comes to styling in comparison to being a photographer. I think
you're more confident as that.
Yeah, I'm more confident when it comes to wardrobe and fashion and doing that. But when it comes to photography, I might have the vision, like more mm-hmm. of like the art direction, but taking the picture, figuring out the manual settings of the camera,
so
having to edit it afterward, that's a whole process.
That's the kind
of work that's more tedious, that like I'm not super having an enjoyable time doing in comparison to the other stuff, but it was still a great experience. You know, to just kind of like produce that and also film all of the behind the scenes as well. I love doing that. That's also really fun too.
I really liked that.
Yeah. Voiceovers, editing, that's fun.
I liked the whole story because to me that said a lot about who you are, because you had elements of expressing your process, expressing how you felt about it. You made clear shout outs to the people that were supporting you in the endeavor. And so it seemed really inclusive that we're doing this together. This is a collaboration. And that is the way I see you. And that's the way I see you interacting with, you know, Karamia. And it seems like that's something that you value.
Totally.
Is that?
Totally.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It does. It takes a village. It's not just me here. If it wasn't with my community and the people that are supporting me as well, you know, I would not be able to create the things that I want to create. And no, it takes a lot of people to help produce these kind of things. And I think it's just the right thing to do. So of course, like my main thing is to always uplift one another, especially coming from here on a small island. It's just, you know, we're limited to a few opportunities here. And so if I'm able to just share and give a shout out, a spotlight.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking of shining light
on these businesses or creators, especially seeing to, I live in Wailuku, and like everything that you do in Wailuku is awesome to me. Cause it's, you know, there's so much there, and it's kind of that thing of where the Karamia Cup Market, Request Records, Wailuku Coffee Company, Esther's, it's like there's such a heart to Wailuku via small businesses and creators that it's like, let's get all these people together.
Yeah, let's support. And there's so many women-owned businesses in Wailuku too, which I think is awesome. More people should know about it. I actually found out through this podcast, the Karamia episode, when I was listening to it, you guys acknowledged it, and I thought to myself, I was like, that's right. Like, there are so many women-owned businesses here, and like, I didn't even know that. I didn't recognize that. So.
Yeah,
and the attitude is very much like, let's do this.
Totally.
Not, I'm doing this, and are you a threat to me? It's like, let's do it. There's plenty of room.
Absolutely.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely. There's
and
always room.
It seems like everybody's being authentic, and so that really allows everyone their space to, that there is enough room, because people aren't like,
there's more than enough room.
Copying,
it's like,
and then there's the whole old cuteness of Wailuku.
Totally.
Which, man, what a cute nest.
Totally. Coffee shop, and then the like record store.
I love Wailuku.
So,
I really do.
I have so much pride for living there, and it's just, yeah, I can't say enough great things. So it's awesome to see creators like you that are really squeezing the juice out of it.
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's there. It's like a
and
ripe
I have so
lemon.
Many more ideas. I have more ideas coming. It's coming.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked. And then we obviously love Esther's there, the bar,
love
and
Esther's.
Then the owners there are building another bar in Wailuku.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of fun, exciting things coming. And
there was another vintage store that just opened right next door to a Y Bar.
Oh.
And so,
oh yeah, Cara was saying it's kind of high end.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, it's nice.
The
owner is also a bartender at Y Bar, so she'll like go back and forth.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just met her. She's awesome.
Y Bar is awesome too. I've done some shows there.
Yeah.
And it's Empanada Lady is another woman-owned restaurant that we do. Maui Juice Co.
Yeah.
The theater's right there. There's just so much. Wailuku has a ton to offer.
Yeah. Interested to see how things will shift a little after the parking garage is completed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I would hope it continues to stay Wailuku
cute
as it is. Yes,
yeah.
Cute and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine, of course, more parking, more people.
Yeah.
But let's keep it, you know, more local based, respectful.
Queen of Hearts. another female. That's the tattoo and piercing parlor on the corner. That's another female owned company. Yeah, I hope. Yeah. I think after the parking structure, it's just going to be, I'll be able to park now. Yeah. That's my hope.
It takes me like 15 minutes to find parking.
Yeah. I have a couple secret spots, but for the most part, usually I'm like,
I'm determined to park on Main Street. I'm like, I'm going to keep going in circles because I want to park right here.
I have a little parking song I sing there and on Baldwin and Paia, where I'm like, parking spot, I'm going to get a parking spot. And it sometimes it helps.
Yeah, Paia is the worst.
Paia's the
That's
worst.
Really bad.
Yeah, but a lot of the time I'll be like,
sorry, Paia. Yeah. We love you.
You know
well,
who.
I'm talking about your parking. Your parking.
Yeah, just the parking.
Yeah, just the parking. That's all. Yeah, talk about someone that needs a tarot card reading. Paia could use it. But yeah, in Wailuku, a lot of the time I'll be like, I'm here. Physically, I'm 50 feet from you, but I'm driving around the block five times to get parking. So, yeah, hopefully it'll be a female-owned parking garage.
Right.
What are we drinking tonight?
We're listeners.
Do you hear me?
Because Andrew is our guest and he has such a love and talent for styling, for fashion, that's a big aspect of his world and what he offers to the world, I wanted to have a drink inspired by that. So I found a drink that's called the Coco Chanel. That is what we are drinking now. Mm-hmm. It is made up of 3 ounces of coconut vodka and 1 ounce of elderflower liqueur, aka Saint Germain. That's what we're drinking. You make it by adding the coconut vodka and elderflower liqueur into a mixing glass with ice, stir it, and strain it into a cocktail glass. For all intents and purposes, it's essentially like a bastardized martini. And
it's really good.
It's good.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't have any arguments with this drink.
No. Yeah. On paper, I was like, ooh, you never know. We make cocktails that on paper, you're like, this looks great. And then you taste it and you're like, ooh. Mm-hmm. But then on paper with this one, I was like, elderflower and coconut. Mm-hmm. Like, but this is wonderful.
Just sweet enough where it's not
totally
too sweet.
It feels very much like a summertime drink. It's strong because it's 100% spirit.
Spirit forward.
But in honor of the Coco Chanel cocktail.
Oh, yeah. Where's your blazer?
I have it right here.
Okay,
perfect.
I wore my pearls.
Some pearls. I have some pearl earrings.
You have pearl earrings.
For the listeners listening.
Yep. And
and a nice necklace, too.
And a nice necklace.
Yeah, some pearl necklace. Yes.
And we channeled our Coco. And that'll be the name of the episode.
Channeling our Coco.
And I thought it would be nice to look up some history about Coco Chanel. There isn't a lot of history for this cocktail itself. But I'll talk a little bit about how the recipe for this kind of ties in a little bit with her backstory.
Yeah.
So Coco Chanel was responsible for popularizing a sporty, casual chic, and feminine standard of style. She was very pivotal in replacing the corset style, a very structured and constraining attire for women, and instead going for something that's simpler, less time consuming to get dressed and to undress. And less
I ain't got time to undress.
Yeah. And less expensive, but all of that without sacrificing elegance or style. And Coco Chanel was also the only fashion designer listed on the Time magazine list of the 100 most influential people of the 20th century.
What are y'all? Oh, wow. What is y'all's influence with Coco Chanel? Have you been influenced?
I mean, to I think a normal degree of the suit with kind of like the woven belt. The,
like you
tweed.
Dug that and you were like, yes.
It was a moment in time. Gossip Girl, Blake Lively's character in Gossip Girl, I feel like her style was a little bit, and some of the other people in Gossip Girl was a little bit of that, like, kind of preppier New York aristocrat vibe. But I personally never dressed super Coco Chanel. I have a pearl necklace, but I'm proud
of that. That's the closest thing to that. Yeah, I resonate Chanel with perfumes mostly.
Yes,
my mom, growing up, would love, like, Chanel No. 5 and all the different numbers, but that was her favorite.
There's
so
other
I resonate. Yeah.
They go up to 6,000.
I actually don't know how much they go up to.
I don't know.
There's
Chanel
5,
3. Girl.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I'm a 21 kind of girl. But I resonate it with my mom's fragrances, because that would be something that she would
absolutely
prioritize, making sure she smells good.
And that'll be forever.
You know, that'll be forever.
Scent will remind you too, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Alexis?
I just think of women. I think of my friends that have been influenced by Coco Chanel, and then there are particular women that are really into. It's not androgyny, but like the like loose slacks, men's slacks, but then the tucked in.
Absolutely.
Blouse.
And Coco, I'm on a first name basis with her now that I've done so much research. Coco was really pivotal in that pants transition. Like
women wearing pants.
It was controversial at the time, and she's
That's
like,
crazy.
This is way more practical and way more comfortable and easy to like slip on and off. Again,
sex.
There's some quotes I didn't quote her on that I don't.
She was I like to take my pants off
and then put them back on.
You guys knew the quote.
But pants were a big thing, which I mean, if you want to talk about how influenced I am, I wear pants all the fucking time.
Well, the two women that I think of who were really influenced by that particular look are interesting women, because they're like, they're very feminine, but they're very strong.
Yes.
And they're sexually very confident.
Yes. Mm. And that was a very like Coco Chanel thing too, of like, there's the fragrance tied in with these style aspects that are going away from what was traditionally very feminine. Traditionally, you wear skirts, you wear corsets. It's very practical.
And that's how femininity is defined.
Yes. This was this whole kind of revolution of, we're now wearing pants, we're
now
being
engaged
sensual
with femininity and sensuality in that way.
Yes. Yeah. I have actually a good amount of quotes from Coco Chanel that we'll go over later, but
very empowering for men at the time too.
Yeah, absolutely. Where she had some good ones, but she was very much centered around like, be original, be, you know, stylish, and that isn't dependent necessarily on what you're wearing as much as like, that's just who you are, period.
Oh.
And then, in order to be irreplaceable, one must always be different. She said that. My life didn't please me, so I created my life. Very much a self-starter, because she was actually born into a very impoverished family. After her mother died, her father gave her up to an orphanage / convent, which she lived at until she was an adult. And then when she became an adult, she learned how to sew, became a seamstress, and then was a cabaret singer. And that's where she got her name, Coco Chanel. She was actually initially born Gabrielle Bonheur Chanel. And her mother was a laundry woman and her father was a street vendor. And so it was very humble beginnings. And then at 11, she became part of the orphanage. That was like a very strict educational background. And then afterwards, she kind of wanted to be a cabaret singer professionally and then realized that that wouldn't happen. And then she had some romantic involvements. In 1906, she met the French textile heir, Etienne Balsan, and they began an affair. And so he was already married, and she lived in, like, his countryside home, and it was a kind of a very lavish lifestyle that she was introduced to. And then 2 years later, she was with him for 3 years. 2 years into their relationship, she started an affair with his friend, Captain Arthur Capel, who would later finance her first two shops that she opened.
Okay.
And so in 1910, she began as a hat maker, and out of her hat making shop, she also sold sportswear and jersey sweaters that were essentially kind of like lower cost, a little bit. What I kept on seeing referred to as like poor girl attire. But within 5 years of starting that, the jersey fabric and poor girl attire attracted the attention of very influential and wealthy women.
It's like now.
Yeah, who are like
girls wearing like
absolutely athleisure
gear,
loungewear. Yep, where it became something that a lot of the wealthy elite were looking to as an alternative from wearing those really structured and constricting corsets.
Right, because how else to flaunt your richness than to be like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I can wear a loose baggy thing. Because I'm rich.
And so, then within another 10 to 15 years after that, Chanel Industries was worth millions from that point. It just was kind of like a snowball. Then in 1939, Chanel closed her couture house with the start of World War II. And after that, her reputation was tainted a bit after association with a German diplomat during the Nazi occupation, and she did not return to fashion until 1954. So during the war, there was quite an understanding that she was kind of on the wrong side of it, because she was with a German
Coco.
Yeah.
Since we're on a first name basis.
Yeah.
Coco.
Come on, Coco.
Talk.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You could do better. On, you had Coco. Two Frenchmen at the same time. You don't need this German Nazi. Like,
what does he have that you're so drawn to?
Yeah, there's for the listeners, there's a lot of history and documentaries in that time of pivotal parts of peace acts and discussion with Churchill that she may have been a part of, and he like kind of pardoned her after, because everybody wanted to accuse her of war crimes.
Oh shit.
So there's a lot there that I was just like doing research. I'm like, we do not have time to go through an entire war's worth.
It's called happy hour.
Yeah. It up. Moving on from the Nazis, let's talk about her signature suit design. And in 1954, when she returned to fashion design, that was when she introduced her signature suit design of the collarless, braid-trimmed cardigan and graceful skirt.
Okay, gotcha.
And in 1971, she died of a heart attack and was buried in that favorite suit, a beige and white tweed suit decorated with the designer's iconic gold buttons and braid. So, and a fun fact, the lions that are so prevalent in Chanel designs, the reason that's there is because Coco is a Leo.
Oh.
Which, now that we've discussed the Nazi affiliations, I feel like I should have talked about mine and Coco's similarities before the... Because I was going to be like, we're both Leos.
But I
could have restructured the order of things a little bit.
And so she died.
Yeah.
And she died.
That's...
I wonder, like, who took over after her?
I didn't write it down, but it's a very famous name.
Was it Karl Lagerfeld?
I think it was Pharrell.
Pharrell. No, he's the...
He did take over a different thing.
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. Just
recently.
I saw that show.
Did you like it?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, the soundtrack was great. I think the show was great. I loved the what guests were wearing, Rihanna especially. She's like, I think it was like a denim set piece that stood out to me.
Did you say Karl Lagerfeld?
I did.
You were right.
I was
right. Yes. Yeah, he took over in the 80s, so it wasn't like instantly right after her death in 71. It was Yvonne Dudel, Jean Casaubon, and Philippe Guibourg.
Yeah.
And then in
Guibourg. Oh, Philippe.
He too. Carl also was very controversial.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, too.
Ideas of the standard beauty and certain sizes.
Yes.
And very much racist things on how things should look.
Yeah.
They recently did the previous Met Gala that's held on the first Monday of May was in honor of Carl.
Yeah.
This
most recent one.
And who was dressed as his dog?
A cat.
Oh, yes, because he has
Jared
a famous
Leto.
Cat. Yes.
Jared Leto.
Doja Cat.
I was on the back foot of all this where I'm just seeing Met Gala looks and I'm like,
cats.
What's going on?
Who? Why?
What's the theme here? Why are people dressed up as cats? Yeah. Yeah. And I was interested to see what sort of outfits people were going to wear, if people were going to be making statements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand... there have been things said by Carl mentioning that he didn't like certain colors, I think. Mm-hmm. And people showed up in those colors just to kind of make that
a little controversial.
Yes.
And a little bit like, this is my statement and it's not going to align with what you believe specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was just in New Mexico, the topic of Georgia O'Keeffe came up and... you know, she's very well loved for her art of, like, Eo Valley and other places. And
Vagina Valley.
She's...
well, she, yes. all a lot of her art is...
Yes.
Is very vagitastic.
Vaginal.
Love.
But my friend we were driving with was like, Georgia O'Keeffe is terrible. And I was like, oh, please tell me why. And I guess... you know, as a white lady artist in New Mexico, she was not very kind to her New Mexican people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah. Especially, too, it's like periods of time. Like, I've done so much work with elderly people. And part of it, too, I think it's a little comforting that you're like, they're gonna die very soon. Or they're dead already.
Absolutely.
I love
feel the same way with our current, you know, government system right now.
Absolutely.
I'm like, the time is clicking.
Yes.
Let's. You know.
They look at how slow they move. Just think about how slow their brains move. It's a... I think...
Sorry.
Totally. But I love the fact that I look at peers and people around me and, like, the younger generation, and predominantly it's people that are building a better future and looking towards a better future.
Totally.
That's the kind of thing I...
like making America great again?
Oh.
Yes, but not in the way that they're talking.
It's amazing how that sentence has been ruined, because
let's make it great for the first time. The word great is so vague that it's like kind of perfect that they chose that.
Let's just make it comfortable for people
because
to live
great,
in.
Great is so vague. It's not like make America loving again.
Yeah.
Make America
well fed and safe again.
No, they're like, it's great.
It's great.
It's great.
For who?
For who? For, they're like, whoever I say.
Yeah. And it's a short list. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys want some
some, I think maybe another.
We can do another beverage. Before we go into another.
Yeah.
I have a few quotes and then a game with quotes. So I'm going to tell you guys a few Coco Chanel quotes, and then we'll do a little bit of a quiz.
Okay.
So some of my favorites that I found quotes of hers, and like ones that were very pivotal in who she was as a person and designer. The main one is, "Luxury must be comfortable, otherwise it's not luxury." Which is that funny thing to think about with, like, corsets, where it's like, if it's stabbing you in the tits, why did you pay so much money for it? This is on brand for the podcast. "I only drink champagne on two occasions, when I'm in love and when I'm not."
Oh, yes.
"If you're sad, add more lipstick and attack."
Yeah. And a what?
And attack.
Attack.
Yeah. That's the quote.
Okay.
Like, attack!
Attack! Attack!
Okay, Coco.
"I love this one. I don't care what you think of me. I don't think of you at all."
Oh, there you go.
Saying it with a French accent.
I don't care what you think of me. I don't think of you at all.
Yes. Very Leo.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
too. It is.
"You live but once. You might as well be amusing." And then, "A woman who doesn't wear perfume has no future."
Oh. Oh, no. Whoa.
These were the good quotes.
Oh, no.
Of the ones listed in these, like, you know, BuzzFeed top Coco Chanel quotes, none of them were that controversial. I stumbled across some that referred to her talking to her romantic interests and talking about her... young little body and stuff. And yeah, it was
my young little body.
Yes, they will fight up the two guys it's that she so was involved pure. With how they were
look
fighting
my skin.
They were fighting over my young little body.
She's so French.
Yes. So now we're gonna play a game.
Ooh,
called "Which Coco Said That?" So I'm going to say a quote, and you have to tell me if it's said by Coco Chanel or Coco Austin, the wife of Ice-T, the actor from Law & Order. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
First one. "I don't do fashion. I am fashion."
Coco.
Alexis, what's your vote?
Coco.
Which Coco, though? Wait. I guess we have to say
what was her last name, Ice-T's wife?
Austin.
Coco
Austin.
T.
Coco T? Coco A.
Coco A, yes.
Sorry,
Coco
I was
C.
like, Ice-T.
Ice-T. Coco, yes.
Right. So, yes. I don't do fashion, I am fashion.
I'm going to say Coco C.
Yes.
I'm gonna say Coco C.
Ding, ding, ding! Okay, all right, who said this? "I got my boobs done because I wanted to even out my lower half."
What's her name?
Coco Austin.
I'm gonna go with Coco Austin.
Coco Austin.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Okay.
Or me. Did I say that?
I have a wheel. Okay. Who said this? "Which Coco said that? Fashion changes, but style endures."
Coco Chanel.
Coco Chanel.
Ding, ding. You guys are so good at this.
Thank you.
Smarties.
I have a feeling.
Okay. Last one.
Spidey sense.
"Which Coco said that? I've always had a booty, even when I was a baby."
Wait. It could be either. Could you please repeat the statement in a French accent?
"I've always had a booty, even when I was a baby."
That sounds like Coco Chanel, but... Now say
I'll say
it.
Coco Austin.
Austin.
You guys, 100%.
Wow.
All right, and on that note, we will
make... Where's the cash prize?
It is actually...
Another cocktail.
A cocktail.
It's caught up in my my Chanel investment.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, so it's tied up a little bit.
Yes. Listeners, we are going to make a second round, and we will be right back, 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 back.
Back, 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 and we're back.
I love that.
That good?
You're hired.
Wow, you all are. Right. The audible experience being on the listening end is so rich.
Sounds great, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm gonna make
anytime, guys.
So rich,
so rich. I'm gonna
so
edit
Coco Chanel.
Yeah, exactly.
So Coco.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Is that our cocktail is made up of Saint Germain,
Coco Chanel's ashes.
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
It's made up of Saint Germain, and we had mentioned coconut flavored vodka. What we didn't mention was the only name brand I was able to find for coconut flavored vodka, which was New Amsterdam.
Honestly, coconut flavoring is coconut flavor.
Yeah, yes. It tastes great.
It tastes great.
It actually is great.
But well, looking at these two things on the on our bar cart,
it's a bit juxtaposed.
But I see the juxtaposition of Coco Chanel's life. Where she
Jersey,
she was
she started.
Born. She started New Amsterdam, and she became Saint Germain. You know,
or she brought Rive Droite to Rive Gauche.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got lost there.
I'm just gonna pretend I know. Yeah.
It's great.
The droite and the gauche.
Yeah.
You know,
the gauche.
If I added a nickel for every time I gauched in my droite, I'd be able to buy Saint Germain all the time.
I'd be Coco Chanel.
I'd be Coco Chanel.
When you said drinking the ashes, it made me think like...
What did you make you think?
Yeah, I'm also curious.
I thought like, I would drink her ashes. Oh. I'm not afraid to drink
ashes.
Then
when you meet a new person at a barbecue or a party, and they're like, you're so fun. There's something about you. You're like, I know. It's I drank Coco Chanel's ashes.
Honestly, that's kind of a flex. Like, yeah. That's like icebreaker. Like, hey, guys, you know. Kind of reminds me of like the cinnamon challenge almost.
Oh my god, it's like the cinnamon challenge.
I did it once.
The ashes challenge.
Oh no. Oh no. Yeah, I don't.
They talk about eating the rich, so. It's very literal.
Just like sprinkle it on.
Yeah.
What do you want to happen when you die? With
now I want you to drink me. I want to hold.
Yes, drink me.
I put me in a shit like a party punch.
Oh,
party punch for everyone to enjoy.
Well,
at my funeral.
Hey, we've talked about a lip, a rim.
Not a lip. I don't want an optional.
A rim.
Rim. People have the option of like a salt rim. If you did an ash rim, people can choose whether or not to eat me or drink me. Don't want
this
that.
It's crazy.
It is.
Crazy.
And I want
you to choose if you eat me or drink me.
It's just like Alice in Wonderland. You have to eat me and you have to drink me.
Yes.
And it's kind of, a little biblical, a little bit Jesus Christy.
Okay, so human remain ashes are very, they're not powdery. They're very grainy.
We have a lot of mixologist friends. They'll figure it out.
Okay.
I think
you can crush it up a little bit more.
Yeah. What would be best is just to like
snort
it.
What do you soak it?
You don't want to snort that. It's rough.
No.
Hmm.
No.
I thought we were friends to a serious degree, but I guess I just...
You don't want to snort me?
Yeah.
I want to like, you know...
I'm picturing like just, a...
Imagine like a tea bag.
I can't say the word soak because I can't.
Steep.
Sure. Steep.
Yes.
Let's steep
like you said, tea bag.
Yeah. Tea bag.
I want to tea bag all my friends.
Oh my
God. After I die.
You know what? We can make that happen.
Yeah.
We can take your ashes and put them into two little balls.
Mm-hmm.
You like balls?
I love
you
balls.
You said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we can arrange for everyone to
come. Oh, that's
come.
What you're talking about, Alexis? I was talking about a tea bag.
What?
But yeah, seriously,
that
I want my funeral
too.
To be a party, and I want something weird to be done with my ashes.
Okay, I mean, put it in writing, because otherwise I'm going to be fighting with your people.
It's a verbal contract. My mom listens
to
this podcast.
It is recorded.
Yes, so we'll hear this back. Well, you won't, but...
Who knows how Spirit works.
We did set up a microphone for
on the
Spirit.
Side, just in case.
Yeah.
They are welcome.
Spirit speaks.
I don't know how I would... I think... I don't want to be buried.
No, I don't either.
You know,
because of the whole chemical process or
decomposition,
yes, and like the maggots eating you. I don't think that sounds.
And it's like living in a box. I mean, you're not living, but like.
Did
existing.
You hear about that lady who got buried and she came alive?
Yes.
That was me. That's why I'm here today. No,
and
I did not.
I'm so happy
to be here.
I love the idea.
I'm counting my blessings that worked out.
Yeah.
I love the idea that the lady that got buried in the box was like, wouldn't bring it up casually.
She's like, I'm
going to
wait just a little bit.
She's just only when people bring up that article naturally in conversation.
Yeah, because you don't want to brag.
When really, she probably goes to every new interaction. She's at the grocery store and she's
did
like,
you know that I was.
You know, I almost died in a box, right? They don't bury me alive.
Because she was
I'm
in
I'm assuming
India.
She was in the South. Oh, she was in the South then.
I think that's happened like multiple times.
Probably. I'm into ashes being buried. Okay, so at first I thought ashes scattering was the way to go.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always like the tree planting thing where
I like that idea.
Your body feeds a tree.
Yeah.
I feel like though, my luck is that that tree would die.
Yeah.
And then it would take all this energy to plant, and it would be like my last joke.
Yeah. I think about that. If you're that tree that gets pissed on by all the neighborhood dogs.
Yeah. Like, I think that would be the funny catch about, like, see, I'm actually really dead, and there's nothing you can do to pretend like I'm still here.
Or somebody, like, drags a dumpster up next to you or something. I worry about that. With a tree,
oh my
there's...
God. No, like the one in Pukalani. So, okay, you know where, like,
Dumpster graveyard?
Kojima's sushi is.
Yes.
Okay, so
I'm gonna nod.
Just keep going with it. Okay, so there's this strip mall.
Yeah.
And there's a parking lot. And in that parking lot is one gravesite with a fence around it.
Oh, you showed me that.
And there's there are two dumpsters next to it.
You want to be in the dumpster?
I don't want to be in the dumpster. I just think that would be so ironic if I was like, you know what? I think I do want to be buried. I think I'm going to go for it. And then I ended up in a fenced-in gravesite in a strip mall in a parking lot next to the dumpster. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, joke's on you, Alexis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, shout out to them, though. I'm sure they're...
I would like to meet them.
Right. We can go visit. They're not that far away from
here. No, they're right here.
Yeah.
Right here. I'm trying to find the little photo you sent me.
Honestly, just like take my ashes and shoot me to space. Just
that's cool too.
Toss me.
Jeff Bezos style?
Sure. Yeah.
I can shoot you to space from here. I don't know if it'll reach.
Yeah, just try your best.
Okay. That's all I ask. It's in my will.
I feel like I just need a potato gun.
There you go. That works. And like in the concerts, they just
said,
like,
try like a t-shirt.
Get my whole family and friends together, just shoot me everywhere. And everyone's just like in open arms.
And to Andrew, who said, try your best.
Boom, 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 boom.
My eye.
Someone tries to like catch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like some cups.
I think it's safe to talk about death and joke about it.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, that's the thing I worry about the most with like my funeral, where I'm like, I really don't want everyone to be all sad.
No, yeah.
It'd be such a bummer. I'm like, I want karaoke, a piñata, maybe put my ashes in the piñata, at least a little bit.
That's great.
What kind of piñata do you want? What shape?
The typical.
You want a pickle?
The pickle. The
I want
pickle
the pickle.
Piñata.
The pickle?
The pickle piñata.
The typical. Typical. You know what a typical
piñata.
Like it's like
horse.
The donkey.
Yeah, the donkey.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm picturing
the
like
llama,
the...
guys.
We said donkey llama.
I think it's a burro, isn't it?
It's a burro.
My mom.
Burro. Yes.
Yeah, my mom made all of our piñatas growing up for all of our birthdays, so she could make my funeral piñata as well.
Okay.
I don't.
She made an ostrich. She made a dragon.
I really don't want to put that on her.
I think she'd be,
really you're right.
She'd be happy to help. She's like, great with
right,
paper mache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Yeah, she could make it and you guys could fill it up.
I'll bring the stick.
Yeah.
And
you don't even need
one. Did you want just the ashes in there and some candy as well?
Ashes, candy, and then those little Advil packs like they do at weddings.
And then I will sing.
Some condoms.
I will, yeah. I will sing while people are hitting it.
And like the
candy. Dale, dale, dale.
Just like candy.
The Hispanics will know.
And then... and then for the paper mache with the flour, you won't even need water because it's just the tears in the bucket. You can mix up and make the piñata with that.
That is some really folklore fun kind of stuff.
Oh, it's funny you said folklore because I actually...
Taylor Swift.
I have some... since we this cocktail's 75%...
folklore.
Elderflower. I have elderflower folklore facts.
Do tell.
So, elderflower comes from the elder tree, which produces white, fragrant blossoms.
What you looking for?
The bottle.
Is that elderflower?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just like making sure. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
the
that
Saint,
is...
Saint Germain is the elderflower.
For the
liqueur.
Listeners, I turned my head to see behind me of our...
Yeah,
bar station.
He's just looking to see if the spirits
of
podcast host past are haunting us.
If they like the piñata idea.
Yeah, they're in favor. So, the elder tree produces white fragrant blossoms, and those blossoms are what's turned into elderflower liqueur. There's actually recipes online to make your own elderflower liqueur. If you guys want to see a picture of what the tree looks like. This is the elderflower tree, and this is the elderflower.
Damn.
Hmm. I guess, sorry, it's the elder... The elder tree. And then the elderflower.
Okay.
Sounds like their ashes are coming soon.
Put me in some elderflower liqueur. That would be perfect. Plant my ashes. I grow an elderflower tree. Elderflower blossoms make the elderflower liqueur.
And then I want to be... I want you to take some pork.
New Amsterdam.
And smoke me in some of that elder wood.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you know, extra.
You know,
flavor.
Coco Chanel was in the elder wood too, if you know what I mean.
Oh, in her young little body.
Yikes.
So, the elder trees were known in folklore and they were believed to be inhabited by spirits and supernatural beings, and those spirits and supernatural beings that inhabited the tree were often referred to as Queen of the Woods or the Elder Mother. According to some legends, these mystical spirits, often called Elder Mother and Elder Spirits, would reside within the tree and could bring both blessings and curses to those who encountered them. Elder trees were associated with rebirth and transformation. In some folklore, it was believed that if an elder tree was cut down, a new one would grow in its place, symbolizing the cycle of life and regeneration. Elderflower blossoms were considered auspicious and were often used in wedding ceremonies or to decorate homes during festive occasions. The sweet fragrances of the elderflower was believed to ward off evil spirits and bring blessings to the household. So
it could go either way.
Yes. Yeah. I try to look up elder tree curses.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
elder
you
tree
wanted to do some?
No, I just to see history, like stories of it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find any, which means
none.
They might have ended pretty badly. If
okay.
No, or they were like, you know, nobody talks about their elder tree curses that they do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that could be a deal.
Yeah, you don't talk about that.
But, yeah, I like anything that symbolizes rebirth and transformation because I think that's something that we go through in our lives mm-hmm. all the time. And then
hopefully,
yeah.
I feel like chapters are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people, like I've heard before people say that they feel as though this is like their last sort of chapter in their life. They've been here before and like their life now, it's like, oh, I think this is like my last sort of rebirth.
Oh, like in reincarnation,
yes.
Kind of. I thought
yes.
you meant. I was like, I used to work with the elderly, and
yeah,
like,
I was thinking when
this is my last day.
when they're in their winter season.
Yeah, no reincarnation.
Oh, okay, yes, I think that's so interesting to know if it's your last one, because then
I don't know.
Do you think it's your first or your last?
I think it's like a mid. I think I've maybe been here before spiritually, but I also think that there's so much more for that I don't know.
Do you think you've been here in this cantina spiritually before?
Yes.
Were you a spirit on the mic?
Yeah, previously. Yes. I feel like you were.
Speaking of transition and rebirth, like, what do you feel like your own, because I kind of want to bring it back to fashion a little bit, because that's something that fascinates me and scares me a little bit. Do you feel like your own personal style, how would you characterize that, and has it gone through its own transitions, or have you kind of always been like true blue to certain aspects of your style?
Yeah, I think I've always been very experimental.
Yeah.
When it comes to fashion, I am very attracted to colors, and I'll steer away from black and white. I love pink, I love reds, blues, just things that are just really bright and bold. And I think I understand like the privilege it is to kind of find things that are just easier fitting. So I can find things easier. And I take advantage of that. And it's fun. I like to play dress up. My first sort of memories of fashion, my mom used to like take me to any sort of department store, Macy's, and she would just kind of have let me like have the free will, just like, yeah, just like choose whatever. It would be, it would normally be around the season of like a new school year.
Yes.
Time to get new stuff, new school supplies, new clothes. I'm growing. So I would just kind of like run around and have the option to just like choose and pull. Of course, like I would just stick to more of like the cargo pants and button ups and things like that. But I would like, I would be more attracted to certain colors that I would like at the time. And I still do the same thing. I think as of recently, I've been more playful, whimsical when it comes to silhouettes and sort of how things may look more feminine and dresses and skirts. You know, I want to even dive into that a little bit more, but it definitely is like a part of a expression for myself.
Yeah.
I think fashion for me and wardrobe is like this shield of armor in a way.
Yeah.
I can be dressed in a certain outfit and feel almost like a character, but almost like this wave of confidence comes through.
Absolutely.
And it just, it seems super playful. And I've collected clothes for a long time now. I've thrifted, I've made a few things, upcycled, and I just collect them and have them in my closet. My room right now, it's a small bedroom, but like I have three racks. It's pretty stuffed in there. Like,
nice.
I'm ready to like kind of move, shift things around. I recently just donated a few things because, you know, I like to picture things. If I wouldn't buy it today, I think it's time to go, you know?
So, not to put you in the hot seat, but what things are you noticing you're more inclined to donate and pass along right now? And what things are you like, my wardrobe needs this?
To say, yeah, I think some of the things that I've been holding on to for a long time, things from like high school.
Mm-hmm. Those cargo pants.
Those cargo pants, yeah. Like some of those, I used to wear a lot of stripes.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like stripes and like button ups, very like polo shirts.
Yeah.
I think I was like attracted to just like the patterns of it and the colors of it.
And something that's like vibrant and fun.
I've held on to a few, but I had a lot of it. A lot of like the same thing. So I donated a lot of that, and things that just like don't fit anymore as well. Had a bit of a growth spurt, I guess, but I've definitely kept more of the things that I either haven't worn just yet, I'm like going to wear either when I travel and I'm like, oh, I feel more comfortable wearing it here, or, you know, I think there's a certain feeling stepping out here locally, like,
absolutely,
I don't necessarily know if I feel super comfortable just like walking out of my door here
totally
in a dress, you know. Although I know I could mentally, but I think I'm still going like back and forth with this like judgment that can come from it as well.
Yeah.
So overcoming that as well. And I don't know. I don't necessarily see a lot of representation like that here.
Absolutely.
Whereas in other places, I would see that.
It's so, like New York City.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's not even a discussion mm-hmm, topic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And obviously, I can't speak to being a man wearing a dress or a skirt or anything like that, because that comes with its own, like you said, kind of a little bit of worrying about whatever that stigma or mm-hmm. any kind of like small-minded community. But there's times here where I'm like, this dress for me is way too flashy to wear on Maui, because Maui's so...
Yeah.
There's just such a casual air here that any time that it's like anything with sparkle or a more elegant cut or anything like that, I also save it for my suitcase mm-hmm. because then I'm like, you know, going to New York City mm-hmm. or going, like, Vegas is fun because, like, I always say, like, Vegas, you are never the most underdressed or overdressed person in mm-hmm. any given situation. You could wear whatever you want, and you are next to somebody in like flip flops and no pants, and then you're next to somebody in like Dolce and Gabbana and Louis Vuitton.
All types of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here it's, you just see that there's kind of like that mold.
Yes.
You know, that's a little bit more casual,
more comfortable.
Comfortable, beachy.
Yeah. It's a warmer temperature here.
Yeah.
And I try to not stay so like set on that mindset either. I'm still in that process because I don't want to necessarily care so much either. Mm-hmm, you know, totally. I you know, but of course it's like, it's not only society. It's like the things that were said and taught to me, like as a child too. I think a lot of, you know, gay boys, gay queer people can go through this and sympathize, but you know, it's just like that stigma that's just like kind of told onto us that we're not allowed to be a certain way, but we can't.
Yeah.
And, just like having that ownership of our individuality and our uniqueness, and just like taking that into control is like what I'm trying to master right now.
Absolutely.
And that's a part of like the expression, you know, nails, hair, wardrobe, at least for me, you know, I feel more like myself when I'm able to express myself in that way.
Absolutely. And that idea that masculinity looks like one specific thing and femininity mm-hmm. looks like one specific thing, and you fall into one or either of the camps. I think about that a lot as a woman that I go to the gym and find a lot of joy of like lifting heavy weights and growing muscle and mm-hmm. doing these things that like have historically been attributed to being masculine. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that I view that as a negative, but it's also mm-hmm. that a little bit of that thing of like, I just always, you know, hear things about it all the time of, oh, wow. That's like, don't put on too much muscle, or you're gonna look like a man or whatever. And it's just like, it is a little bit of that stigma of having a box for masculinity, having a box for femininity, and there's no cross, you know? Whereas like, I think there's so, when you look at the two circles and the Venn diagram and the overlap, there's so much beauty in that overlap in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's where people fall when they're allowed to.
Yes.
Is that like,
be themselves. Indeed.
Exactly.
Totally.
But let me know whenever you want to go out and have me take your photos. I'll be happy to.
Absolutely. And that's going back to Carmia too. Like that was like I think my first time ever like being photographed and like being seen in public sort of in a dress.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I mean, outside of like me trying on a dress like secretly in my room, you know, whatever. But yeah.
That's incredible.
And it was very empowering, and I was so excited, and I was so happy Cara agreed to do it. You know, of course she would, but I was so excited for that.
That's awesome.
Know? And I shared it on Instagram. I was like, I'm just going to put it out there. You know,
and it was beautiful.
Yeah. And it was really, like, if my younger self could see that, he would be really happy. And so that was for him.
I think that's awesome, always doing things to make your younger self and your older self proud.
My wallpaper, my closest friend, shout out to Rocio, my wallpaper is a younger version of myself, like a baby picture of myself. She taught me that one of like a supportive friend from her told her to have that sort of imagery,
yes,
to always just look at so that you're reminded that, you know, you can always look back at that person and take care of them, and that you're doing things with intentions to kind of just
benefit them, taking care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or especially too, like if you ever are a person that naturally has like harsher self critiques, mm-hmm. and then you look at that little photo and you're like, Rick, man, that's baby Rhonda, and I'm mm-hmm. talking crap about her. Mm-hmm. What am I doing?
It's a good reminder. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And it's
it really
like, is. This is, it's, I think it's viewing yourself as vulnerable and human and with so much potential. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are that all the time throughout our whole lives. And we just totally. Attribute these things to children naturally. But it's that thing of always attributing it to yourself and seeing yeah. that like child in yourself that's always wanting to like grow and become something amazing.
Totally. I think I Viola Davis said this. I can't say it verbatim, but life is a journey of becoming your most authentic self.
Yes.
And there goes the fireworks for confirmation.
Yes.
In the background.
That was a punctuation.
Like, period.
Period.
And, yeah, I am enjoying that journey.
Hopefully
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to be free enough to pursue that.
Yeah. The other hard thing with dressing up here, too, is, like, it's almost always to go to Foodland. Mm. Or, like, I'm going to Costco.
I'll still dress up to go to Foodland or Target. It's always a party for me. I'm like, okay, I'm stepping out of the house. Let's get dressed up a little bit.
You went to Art Mix, right?
I did.
Yes.
I did go to Art Mix. We were in the same place. But
at the same place
time.
At the same time.
That was
fun. Did you wear anything fun for that?
I did. Well, I didn't know about Art Mix at all. That was my first Art Mix. And I found out about it the day of, and I heard that the theme was instinct.
Instinct. Yes. Every year they pick some ambiguous word like.
So I was like, what the heck does that mean?
Heat.
They like interpret it.
Which I basically did, but I went based off of what my sister has been to Art Mix before, and she mentioned that, like, oh, I think a lot of people wear, you know, animal print and colorful, you know, things like that.
Some people go like balls to the walls and do like big wings or headdresses, or sometimes they have like a whole light up suit or silts mm-hmm. or stilts or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So I remain pretty comfortable. I wore this like teal loud pattern cheetah print button up. It was pretty like loose fitting, see through. You can see my nipples a little bit.
Nice.
I had like maybe
the best
like
accessory.
two buttons up, and I had this like gold chain. I honestly look like a pimp, honestly. Like
and
I had these
like
kind of like baggy light green, lime green sort of pants and like white shoes, and I had some like these googly eye they almost look like Willy Wonka white sunglasses.
Fun. And, like mod.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was my outfit. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was fun. I danced a lot.
Yeah, it's great. They had awesome DJs, and
it was great.
I've been to a few before, and each one's a little different. And then some years they really do a lot for it, like production wise.
Yeah.
And then some years,
it was a great turnout. I feel that was my first one. I was like, wait, this is so much fun.
It is.
This should happen all the time. You know.
Yeah.
But and yeah,
it was great too. It was free.
Yeah.
And like you, that fun thing of like wear whatever you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It felt very comfortable.
Yeah.
Very free spirited space to just walk around, run around, dance.
Yep. Homeboys who still want to wear like board shorts and a tank top and like a flamingo hat can.
It was all good.
Flamingo hat.
It was all good.
Yeah. And then, but then people who want to like, I can never not.
Yeah.
Wear something. If there's a costume aspect or dress up aspect, it's just I like doing something. And so I had like my orange jumpsuit that was like cropped at for the shorts and cropped the sleeves, and then underneath I was wearing fishnets on my legs.
Ooh,
and then sleeves
fishnets.
Were like glittery. It's like a glittery mesh. It almost looks like galactic mm-hmm. mesh underneath. I had these big, like, almost look like silver surfboard or snowboarder glasses.
Yeah.
and did a bunch of tiny buns all over my head to like make it look like a helmet. And
I remember you posted a selfie. I remember seeing that
crazy face paint or just like eyeliner that I went over the top with. And
you mentioned like shoes on your stories. Like about
I did Doc Martens and I took really bright silver eyeshadow and dusted all over to make it look like space dust, and took silver ribbon and spliced it in with my laces and all these things. And then as we're in line, I'm like surrounded by a bunch of people that are in jean shorts and tank tops, and I'm like, oh, great, this is fine.
Instinct.
Exactly. My instinct was to dress to the theme.
Did anyone come as basic instinct with like the rabbit?
No,
white dress. Okay,
but a lot of people, because I had the orange jumpsuit aspect, which to me I felt like leaned more spaceman, is kind of what I was going for,
right?
Like intergalactic instinct. A lot of people told me it was like
killer instinct.
So I was like, whoa. Whatever keeps you from talking to me, it's fine.
Killer looks.
There you go.
Killer personality. But yeah, it was fun.
On costumes, I love Halloween. I wasn't allowed to celebrate Halloween like growing up. So
I wasn't either.
I was so now I'm like making up for
both of you aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a religious thing?
A religious thing.
Yep, same for us.
The Halloween is the devil, and
I know you're not Harry Potter too.
Exactly. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
So I wasn't allowed up until I don't know. I think my first experience like trick or treating, I was like maybe 13.
Me too.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm old, but I don't care.
I was the youngest, and my sister was, you know, maybe like 16, 17, and so she was going out with her friend, high school friends. I was like, can I tag along? Me feeling like a little bit older because I'm just, and yeah. So I followed them, and we were just like walking around this neighborhood. I was like, oh my god, this is so much fun. I don't remember. I don't think I was dressed up because I just like wasn't prepared. But
what have been some of your favorite costumes
that I've created?
Yeah.
Oh, so now I take it really seriously. Yeah. I am trying to like level up each year.
Yep.
I try to do like 3 to 4 outfits in the month of October. I'll have like photo shoots. Either I'm taking it, or I think that this year I'm gonna have need some help. I don't know what I'm going to do just yet, but I think my favorite one had to been either my Barbie Halloween outfit or I posted all of these. They're on my Instagram. Either my Barbie or my American Psycho.
Love it. Did you have the waterproof, like the rain jacket?
Yeah. I didn't have the rain jacket version. I just covered myself in blood.
Nice.
And I actually bought a like a toy chainsaw.
Nice.
There was a scene in the movie
yep.
when he was like chasing someone one of the girls like down the hall. Mm-hmm. And he was shirtless. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try to replicate this. So I edited it. I took the photo, threw blood on me, slit my hair back. I had like brunette hair at the time. I took a couple shots. I got it by like the 20th picture, and then I was like, this is it. And I made a collage, and that was it.
Okay,
yeah, those two were my favorite.
The 20th picture, let's talk about that, because that's something that I discovered, that you know, you like admire photography, right? And you're like, wow, they just like have the eye and they just took that picture.
Not exactly.
It takes many.
Absolutely,
right? Absolutely. I mean, I think as you get better at it, right? Like, and then you know your equipment and you know your lighting, especially for me, like a lot of the shots I get are, it's not a controlled environment. I haven't created a studio with the lighting that I control. Yeah. Everything's controlled. Mm-hmm. I'm like on the fly.
Yeah.
So it's harder to be like, I planned this shot and there it is.
Yeah.
And in Maui,
the rest of the time is like shots.
Yeah. Dealing with like blazing sunlight from different directions.
Yeah. The lettuce is flapping on the salad and I'm like, oh my God.
It's blowing away.
The shadows from the palm leaves.
Oh gosh.
But really, like, you have to go for it, right?
You do.
You can't get discouraged by the first 5 didn't get it.
Totally.
Or, like, we're getting there. We're getting there. You have to keep taking the pictures.
Especially the way that my camera settings were at the time, I couldn't see myself. So I had to, like, literally walk back and forth.
And go look at it.
I'm like, oh, okay, I should stand a little bit more to the left. oh, my face oh, should
that's
be
so
how much
hard,
it needs
the
to go
timer.
Down. Yeah, the self, there's a self timer. Now it's a little bit more updated where I'm able to live mirror my phone and my camera.
Yeah.
So I need a literally in any of my like most of my pictures where it's taken from my camera, I'll be holding my phone like off the grid because I'm actually like looking to see if I'm in frame.
Oh,
and if
cool.
I'm like looking at it, I'm like, okay, I'm in frame. 3, 2, 1, I take it. And like you can't obviously see me holding my phone, but that's how I get the shot. But that's helpful.
Insider tip.
That's helpful in that aspect. But if I didn't have that live shoot, I would be walking back and forth.
Yeah. And so you'd say if you want to catch a good photo and you're taking one of somebody, you would say take 20
oh,
at
absolutely.
Least.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you listening, Evan? Evan.
Is Evan your husband?
He is. And I will say I have to give him kudos.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He'll take a solid 5.
Okay.
But I
was just going to say, like, you know, when you're taking pictures of your friends, you know, I appreciate when my friends take a whole bunch. Please take a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You don't want those friends.
He's great with that. And he'll say, okay, now do something different. Okay, now put your hand up. Okay, now look away. And he's great with that.
So one shot per pose, though.
Sometimes I'll take a couple.
Yeah.
If I don't look good in a photo, I'm going to blame him.
This
it's
is your
not
fault.
My fault.
Yes, this is
so
your fault.
It's not
You're
my
like,
fault.
I look great. You didn't take the picture right.
Are you saying I look like this, Evan?
No. Yeah, I'm definitely burst mode. Please take a shit ton. Mm-hmm. Can we swear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Take a lot just so that I have the selection to choose my two favorite.
Yeah. I like live too. It's fun.
It was good. Yeah.
Because you can kind of get a little bit of movement and find something in that too.
Yeah. Pictures are great. Video is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Video, I don't have the option to. If I'm filming from my phone, I don't have the option to look at what I'm in frame because I'm usually filming on my back camera when it comes to like iPhone photography or videography. Just because I think that's the best quality.
Yeah.
Besides the front camera.
Yes.
So
yes,
that,
exactly.
That's difficult. Yeah. Having to kind of, that's when I will ask for help. I think like my last few reels that I've did, I've either had my mom or my sister just like, can you
really?
Tell me that I'm in frame?
How is your mom at it?
She's great. She's super supportive. My whole family, they love it. They
in
love the content.
In frame is a pretty easy directional thing.
Yeah,
too.
Just like tell me that I'm centered and I'm good.
Do they have an eye?
No. I don't think
I don't mean that in a critical way.
No, definitely
like,
not. No, I
you have to be like
you know what? Actually, coach. No, that's my mom does.
Yeah.
My mom does. My mom is very interested, intrigued. She will suggest, like, try go from a lower angle, go from this side. She'll creatively, like, direct me in a certain way and will suggest certain ideas. My mom and I are very similar in that aspect.
That's awesome.
Yeah, besides just me asking, like, if you can tell me if I'm in frame or not.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
This is the, this is the American Psycho.
Oh,
whoa. That's so cool.
It's
you
really
look
good,
so much
actually.
Like Patrick Bateman.
Really
mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
That was the inspiration pick.
You look the same.
Yeah.
Send me that.
That's incredible.
All in the editing.
Yeah.
Lightroom. Shout out to Lightroom.
Evan and I love American Psycho. Mm-hmm. One night we were watching a different movie that was like kind of a scary movie, and then I think Prime sometimes or Hulu will start playing the next thing. And
yes.
I just woke up in the middle of that chainsaw hallway scene. I'm like, oh, because we both fell asleep and it just started playing the next movie.
Isn't there a second movie to that? I didn't watch the second one.
I think there's another one.
With
I
Mila
haven't
Kunis,
seen. Oh, I haven't seen the second one.
I think.
What are.
Allegedly.
I want to know what your hopes are for Maui. Like, what you want to see happening in the industry.
Yeah. I think there, personally, I would love to see more celebration when it comes to Pride and LGBTQIA+ community. There is a community here, but I just don't think it's as celebrated as it should be.
Yeah, well, was there even there that much of anything happening this year?
I don't feel like
yes
June
and no.
Was there a
it was kind of like, if you know, you know, but it was low key. I know the playground held, like there was a pride night, and if there was also a drag show. That's as far as I knew. I think there was also like a float contest, but I don't think that was held here on Maui.
No, I think that was on Oahu.
I think so. Yeah, because I don't remember seeing anything.
Why do you think Pride celebration is important?
Oh, it's so important. I think in order for us to progress in this sort of acceptance of other people and people who are not necessarily like you, different types of people, I think representation matters. Absolutely. And we need to be in the same room with all different types of people in order for us to understand that, like, hey, like, we're similar, but, you know, I'm this way and you're this way. And it's all about just respect and
acceptance of normalcy, too. Yeah. It's just like, this isn't weird. This isn't something that's worth, like, a bunch of conversations of how accepting your company or you as a person is. It's like, it should kind of go without saying. Right. And until we're at a place where it goes without saying, it's like...
And I think because there isn't as much sort of those events held with, you know, Pride and such, people don't know about it and people don't see it. You know, people will be more comfortable in that mindset of just, this is what it is, this is the normalcy. But no, like, there are all types of people out there, and there needs to be these communities that are put together and just celebrated, just so that people can see. I think that representation is not as recognized as much as it should be here. And so even talking about it too is important.
And letting those people in your community know that, like, they're loved and accepted. Absolutely. Too. Like, not like a tolerated or like you can be here kind of thing. But, like, we were talking about, like, how much we love Wailuku, how much we love Maui. It's like everyone here should feel like they're accepted and loved and have a place being themselves completely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there will always be those people that won't necessarily accept you.
And they're going to die soon.
Right, exactly. The ashes, right?
Yeah, they're old.
They're old.
Alexis will drink it.
But, you know,
it's fine.
It's about respect. I think if we can coexist and just be in the same room respectfully, I think, you know, at least that's the bare minimum.
Absolutely. And when the topic of America and freedom gets thrown around and talked about a lot, to me, what that means is people having the freedom to live their life and be themselves to whatever degree they want, as long as it's not hurting or affecting anyone else. You get to do whatever the fuck you want, and nobody else gets to say shit about it at all. That's freedom to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like Maui is just a little bit behind. We know about it. We all know, but I think there could be more. There could be more done.
And in
everywhere, honestly.
Some ways, Maui has a certain level of love and understanding and patience that exceeds other places in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it'll be interesting to see how that
how it all levels out.
Yeah, how that can take on this next level.
Right.
Of welcoming.
Yeah.
Andrew, where would you like to see your creative endeavors and career and professional life in the next 1 to 45 years?
1 to 45 years. Whoa. Big jump. I think I am always curious. And I think I always want to remain curious. I want to remain learning. I want to remain just putting myself in the experiences that I'm interested in. And I'm interested in a lot. I love fashion. I love acting in a way, playing a character. And anything creative in that realm. Even content creation and growing a YouTube channel, talking and speaking and growing that organically and sort of just building a community to just uplift one another and, you know, just be that voice of acceptance and that, you know, we are all here to just be free spirited. I think I want to just go wherever that takes me and be consistent in that. I don't necessarily know a like for sure thing where I'll be in 45 years or even a year from now. Well, I think especially in recent events too, like I left space because I just wasn't feeling myself necessarily, and I needed to choose myself and I needed to go in a route where it felt more just intuitively right. And trusting that is kind of scary, but it's going into it blindly, but
I think it always is.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a lot of faith. It's a lot of trust. And I'm just like, I know what I'm good at. I know what I can do. I've done a lot of self work, and I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm just like, okay, you know, I can do this. So let's reach out and just try. Let's just fucking try.
Yeah. You know? So if we have listeners that follow you on Instagram at Andrew Tabora. Mm-hmm. That's AndrewTabora. Mm-hmm. Or they're listening to you for the first time and then seek out your Instagram, mm-hmm. and they're like, I want to do something creative with this person.
Oh, absolutely.
They should reach out to you via Instagram, and you're open to styling. You're open to...
I'm open to styling. I'm open to having a conversation as far as creative direction. We can be friends. I'm so open to just meeting new people and learning about your experience. And yeah, if you need any sort of help in that way and any sort of guidance in navigating a creative life or
creative guidance for social media.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. Anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Find me on Instagram. My email's there. DM me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that you're actually... You keep moving, you keep doing, and no matter what's going on, you keep working at it.
Agreed.
Which is, that means you're true to your craft.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think a big fear of mine is staying stagnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was stagnant for a majority of my life.
And you know, it doesn't feel great.
It doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. I think it only was until maybe like 2 years ago I really probably took the self-care and self-ownership seriously. I was like, okay, this is not working out for me. I'm depressed. I'm not happy. I am in control of
my happiness. I gotta make shit happen.
And I gotta make shit happen.
Mm-hmm. Kudos. That's huge.
And I've been just sticking through it.
Yeah. Because I think in those states of stagnant that it is weirdly comfortable, you think about the challenges that come with trying, with putting yourself out there. And that is challenging to do that work, that it's challenging to, you know, do these creative projects, to put yourself out there. But those challenges are so rewarding.
Absolutely.
Compared to the challenge of letting your soul die.
Totally.
The challenge of letting your soul die. That's a harder challenge.
that's exactly it.
I think that's a good note to end on. But
be
but
who
really,
you are.
Yeah, be who
be
you are.
Be who you are. The listeners won't know what I'm referencing.
I won't either.
It's like a TikTok.
Okay. Yeah. We'll sample it and we'll make it viral.
Yes. There you
Perfect.
Go.
Andrew, you've been a wonderful guest.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me.
I don't
want to leave. We're going to stay. The podcast will end, but we're going to stay. I'm going to stay.
The podcast ends, but the friendship is forever.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Not only are you so fun to talk to and funny, and have all these
I'm amazing, funny
you're funny
yeah
funny
oh what
yeah
that's true
and it's so amazing to hear you talk about all your creative endeavors, but you have a wonderful voice for radio and for podcast. So
should I
maybe
come
to...
back should I sing a little?
Maybe
I could hit a note.
You can sing a song.
Maybe for our ending note, I'm gonna before we get into that, I'm just gonna tell the listeners that they can follow Andrew on Instagram at Andrew Tabora.
You don't always have to.
They can.
They can.
They can.
It'd be smart for you, listener.
I would, I mean, if I were you.
I think our listeners are smart, not dumb
back.
Idiots. But go check out his page.
Check me out.
You can give it a follow.
YouTube coming soon.
He's always posting fun things.
Yeah.
But as this ending note to end on, my name's Rhonda.
I'm Alexis.
And Andrew, I think it'd be great if you left the listeners with a little parting ASMR, maybe a positive thought or something constructive, a note of something positive, creative, empowering, whatever it is in your sultry, amazing voice.
A biblical verse or something.
Anything but that.
To the listeners listening, love yourself a little extra tonight, today, morning, whenever you're listening this podcast. And do something for yourself. It'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So much, Andrew.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I know that your fashion empire is going to be as great as Coco Chanel's, and even better because you are going to get sexually involved with a Nazi.
Thank God.
All right, this has been Happy Hour Lab, and we love you.
We're signing off.
We love you. Love yourself.
All right.
Off.
Off.